Salvation, life, life after salvation. That's the biggest issue in the Christian world today. I had this Catholic, well, I got this Catholic friend, was a Catholic, who got saved in a, and the most difficult thing for her to understand is, if it's not by law, if it's not by anything I do, salvation is a free gift. We're saved for eternity. How should I live? You know, I mean, the Catholic Church kind of gives us a little idea of how to live. You know, we go and we do this, they instruct us, and we pretty much know what to do. And that is the question. What after salvation? Okay, I got salvation. Now, Lord, what is it you'd have me to do? Well, the Bible says this, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, walk in him. How did you receive him? By grace through faith, right? How do you walk in him? By grace through faith, right? Well, that is not as simple for some people as it is for perhaps me or you. It took me about 10 years to figure it out. What does it mean to walk by faith in Christ and what he's done? The writer of Hebrews in chapter 6, you have to turn there, he talks about things that accompany salvation. He's not talking about salvation, things that accompany salvation. And so many people get it confused when they read that and say, well, here's what the writer said. No, what the writer is saying, hey, let's get away from the dead works. Let's get away from this. Don't try and go back to what was. Let's press on, as Paul says, for the high calling that's set before us. In other words, let's live the life that God intends for us to live, but let's do it by faith in him and what he's done. You know, it's like God's imploring us to say, hey, I sent my son to die for you in order to live in you. Therefore, let him live through you. That's how simple it is. He died for you, gave his life for you, to give his life to you, to live his life through you. That's how simple it is. Throughout the Bible, if we just take notes and look, it is laid out for us. It is, I'm not saying it's simple, because it was that simple when it took me 8-10 years to figure it out. So it might take you less time, but you still got to figure it out. In Romans chapter 5, let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Let's start there. The greatest author of eternal life in the whole Bible to me is the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 5, everybody got it? Look in verse 5. Paul writes this, and hope make not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now think about it. The same love that John talks about. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life. That same love is shed abroad in your heart by God himself, because that's where he comes to live, through the Spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 8, wait in Romans chapter 5. So the life liver should be the life giver. Christ says, I'll live in and through you, I promise you. No problem. Man, if I saved you, I can. And if it's my life, I think I know a little bit more how to live it than you, right? So let's allow him to do it. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 8, Paul writes this. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Don't need a word study on that one, do you? if you're trying to live the Christian life through the old man, you can't please God. That's why religion will never please God, because it's a fleshly thing. I'm going to do two of these and three of those, and God's going to say, great, pat you on the back. Dr. Rell used to say, and we'll all sit on the clouds and go bambaya and whatever and whatever. Ain't going to happen. Either you accept what my son did at the cross, or you go to a Christless eternity. That's how simple this is. And look what he says in the very next verse. But you're not in the flesh, so if the Spirit, what does it say? You're not in the flesh if the Spirit, the same Spirit that he just promised in Romans chapter 5, is shed abroad in our hearts, right? That's what happens once you believe. God gives you himself. You're baptized into the body of Christ. How? By the Spirit, right? That becomes our life. So Christianity is a life. It's not a system. And that's what I tell my Catholic friend. Christianity is a life. The life of Christ is not a system. It's not rules. It's not regulations. It's not laws. It's not anything but faith alone and Christ alone. Christ said, I'm going to give to you myself. I give unto you myself. I'm going to come and I'm going to move in and I'm going to live inside of you. And that's what he's saying in 9. He said, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now here you're going from the Spirit of Christ to the Spirit of God, right? So you endure with that one Spirit, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. And that Spirit lives in you and begs us to allow him to live through us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, of chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but Paul says we are co-laborers with God. So if we co-laborers, it's like being a co-pilot. Let him fly the plane, right? And Paul said, look, the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. That's why the foundation of Christianity is love. Love God, love one another. You say, I can't. Well, he shed the love in your heart, the same Spirit that so loved you and saved you. He wants to show you how to love. Boy, that's a tall order. I can go feed the poor. I can do a whole bunch of stuff. But boy, don't ask me to write a paragraph on love. I stumble all over myself. Might be doing all right until I think about my ex-wife. You might be doing all right until you think about your ex-husband, right? You said love. Oh, Lord, my. Can't love him. Until you think about Hitler, throws you for a loop. So the Bible said, look, this Spirit is the Spirit of love, not just Spirit of life. It's the Spirit of love. If you understand the love of God, if we could just get our head around the love of God, do you realize how great the world would be? Just from the Christian side. Because instead of all the infighting, all the, you know, I don't like you because, I don't like him because I got a right not to like, well, your right will be taken away. You got no right to hate. None. That's for the enemy. And anytime there's hatred, it's coming from the flesh. 2 Corinthians, Chapter 5. And nobody puts this together like the Apostle Paul. And man, we can celebrate that because he's our apostle. He's the apostle to us. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. So I think he's going to do a pretty decent job of telling us how this all works, right? Paul said, it's a life. Man, Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Is there any hatred in Christ? Was there any Christ when he walked on earth, was there any inkling that he did not do what the Father told him to do? He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do, right? So who lived the life through Christ? God the Father, right? Then he tells me and you, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Oh, well, you want me to do like, you want me to obey you and the Father like you obeyed? Yeah, that would be nice. Then you'd live the Christian life perfectly. He tells us, man, salvation's a done deal. And because salvation's a done deal, you ought to have a zeal, be zealous of good works. And the good works begin with love. Love one another. Kind of like they do in D.C., right? Love one another. In love, there's no ill. 1 Corinthians 13 said, love always. When you talk to young couples who's having problems, I always tell them, be careful how you use the word never and always. Oh, you always do that. You know, I said, try telling, oh, you always fix the greatest meals. I don't care if they're lousy. Oh, you always look after me. Oh, you always. That's the way you use the word always, and that shows love. Never. You never offend me. You never. But if you use, oh, you never do this for me. Or you never. Only decline. And then the enemy tells you that the grass is greener on the other side, right? And I said, no, the grass is greener where you water it and fertilize it and nurtures it. That's where the grass is greener. But Paul said, look, it's all about the life. It's a life. It's a life that we're to live. And we're going to be rewarded accordingly. At the Bema seat, we're going to be rewarded for the life that we allowed him to live in and through us. That's what's going to survive. Those things that will allow him to do in and through us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Y'all know the verse. Verse 14. Paul says, for it is the love of God that constrains me. Not the law of God. Not the rules of God. But it's the love of God that constrains me. Because thus judge that if one died for all, then the whole world were dead, right? That kills election right there, doesn't it? He died for all, not the elect, not the ones that he handpicked. He died for the whole world. Paul said, that is my constrainer. Paul said, I know what I used to be, and I know what I was, and I know what I'm capable of doing right now. That's why when I walk in the Spirit, I have to give credit to the only one that can do it, and that's Christ living in me. Paul says, love that constrained me. In verse 15, he said that he died for all, that which lived should not henceforth live unto himself, but unto him which died for them, and rose again, that's the gospel. He says, wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yet though we know Christ after the flesh, yet now, therefore, we know him no more after the flesh. So what Paul is simply saying, Christ who died for me, he died for me. And just a little bit further down the road, he says this in 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ denotes a position, right? That is an eternal position. Once you are in Christ, that's a fixed eternal position. You can't go to the right. You can't go to the left. You stuck there for eternity. So Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's brand new. You've been regened. transformed, regenerated, made brand new. So Paul said, this is where the good old Christian life began. Now let's learn how to walk in newness of life. Not in the oldness of the flesh, but in the newness of the life. The life that Christ has given us. Paul said, look, man, you're brand new. Let's start to look brand new. Let's start to act brand new. And he goes on to say, look, in the rest of the verse, he says, if any man be Christ's new creation, old things are passed away. Behold, all things, the word that are, become new. It's a continual thing. When I come up against lying or tell the truth, then I'm going to tell the truth because that's R. That's right now. I choose to tell the truth. I choose to walk in newness of life. Not in the oldness of the flesh. That's why I said, no man after the flesh. Man, walk in newness of life. You've been regened. You're brand new. You're a brand new creation. You know, you come to know Christ. I know in my case, I've been every Friday, started a couple of weeks ago, meeting with some old baseball buddies, and we'll go out and have lunch. You a preacher? Because we used to hang out. We used to hang out, and they said, you got to be kidding me. What's the name of your church? First Lowdown Missionary Baptist Church? And you rubbing Lowdown? They knew me in the flesh. So if any man be in Christ, man's a new. This is a done deal. This is what God did. This is not anything that you did. You made the decision to make a change from being hellbound. Once you realize that you qualified and accept the offer, God makes you brand new. You didn't have the power to do it. All you did was the light showed you what you really were, just like it did Paul. No, you wasn't on the way to Damascus Road, but you're probably on your way to some ballroom or some other place when you saw the light and you answered the call. And what was Paul's response? What would thou have me to do? First of all, who art thou? I'm the one that you were killing people about. I'm the Christ. So Paul said, man, you mean to tell me all this time I've been wrong? And I've been there and done that. You know, in my early years, I had it all backwards. I've just going on what people told me. I just was going on what seemed right, what made sense to me. That's why Paul called it the foolishness of preaching. Do you realize how foolish that used to be to me? And you come and telling me that I need to do this and I need to do that and I do, you know. And then somebody told me the simple truth: you need to believe. And you know what I said? I can do that. If I do that, then he's going to do all this. I'll take that anytime. And then he starts to grow you up. And you start to see and you start to understand. Well, okay, this life that was given to me was never meant for me to live it because I can't. It was given to me so I could be that vessel. Yeah, I can loan you my hands, I can give you my eyes, and I can give you especially my mouth. and I can say what you've already said, that way you can't go wrong. Because it said, my word will never fail. So one of the best good works that we could ever do, Paul explains it here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 18, all things of God. Now, all these things of who? You mean tell me I had nothing to do with it? Nope. Not when it comes to making yourself brand new. And how could you reconcile yourself? It says, who has reconciled us, that's the believers who have believed, unto Jesus Christ, and has given us, that's me and you, the ministry of reconciliation. And what is our ministry? To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling them, the whole world, what we used to be, to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us, that's believers, the word of reconciliation. Then we're not ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, pray, be ye reconciled to God. And that word that beseech is not the normal word where it says beg, plead with somebody. It said, no, you enter in this reconciliation. In other words, answer the call. God says, I want to make you all right. I want to make you perfectly righteous. You latch on to it, and you fall so in love with it, let it become your ministry. I had never gone to a church back when I was trying to learn. I ever heard this. This is the most fearful message a church, they will not say this. Go and you tell a lost world that God is not putting sin on your account. That will get a sinner's attention. The guys at the prison, oh, you tell me? Not one. Can't. Impossible. Why is it so impossible? Because he died on the sin once. And if he put it on your account, then God was not satisfied with the sacrifice. Well, what I do? And I usually read this scripture. I said, look at the next scripture. It's going to tell you what you need to do to gain heaven. Your sins being remitted, or your sins being put on God's account and not yours, don't assure you of heaven. Next verse tells you what assures you to heaven. Look in verse 21. For he has made him to be sin for us, that's believers, who knew no sin, that we, that's believers, might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what's going to get you to heaven. God's righteousness through Christ. And if you have believed, then God gives you that righteousness. In Acts chapter 17, God's going to make short work of the world, because he's coming back to judge the world. How? In righteousness. Hebrews chapter 9 says he's not coming back to deal with sin. He's coming back for those who are waiting for him. Why? Because he's already dealt with them. So to live the Christian life is to live like a righteous person. And you can only do that if you allow the righteous one to live in and through you. And we're talking about things that accompany salvation. We're not talking about salvation. Because the moment you believe, you got that. So how do you want me to live? Like God is saying, I don't want you to live. I want you to allow me to live. And in through you. Because God himself should know how to live his own life, right? But we don't relax. We get in his way. And what Paul calls it, we grieve God, the Spirit that lives in us, right? That's why he said, grieve not the Spirit, quench not the Spirit. Well, what are you talking about? Get out of the way is what I'm saying. If you simply get out of the way, I will do what I need to do in and through you. And that's a process. That's a learning curve. From the day you say, I believe, until the day he comes through the clouds, or the day you're absent from the body, you constantly learn how to live the righteousness of God. And Paul makes it so simple. Look at Romans chapter 6. Same writer. I'm going to stay with our writer. I'm going to stay with our apostle. In Romans chapter 6, what Paul is talking about here, walking in the newness of life. Paul said, walk in your recreation. In other words, you've gone from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Stop crawling, start flying. That's what the metamorphosis is that happened the moment that you believe. It's like going from a worm to a butterfly. So I asked Christian, why are you crawling, man? Why are you crawling around on the ground? Why don't you just soar? Fly. We can only fly if you allow him to do it in and through you. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Now, you know, at the end of 5, he says, where sin abound, grace much more abound, right? Paul says, sin will never out abound grace. Can't happen. Because he paid the total debt. You're saved through grace. So how in the world will sin ever jump above grace? So the numbskulls, as Greg used to call them, the veil menders, would tell you, well, no, you can fall from grace. Well, what does that mean? Don't have a clue. You can, I can, anybody can. If you fall from salvation through grace to any other system, you've fallen from grace. But it has nothing to do with your salvation. God is saying, come back to the grace, because apart from it, there's nothing you can do. God will never accept you unless you know it on his own goodness and kindness and mercy, because you could never be worthy in and of yourself. It is the grace of God that leads us and guides us and teaches us. In Romans chapter 6, Paul says this, yeah, where sin abound, grace much more abound. Then the question is always asked, well, Paul, if that's the case, can I continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer than? Live any longer than, get that word, live. He ain't talking about stumbling and falling. He's talking about there's no change. In other words, I've come to Christ, and man, absolutely, I got no convictions. I'm living just like I used to live. Paul said, why would you do that? Paul said, look, know ye not that so many of us that were baptized, that is identified with Christ, baptized, identified in his death. As a matter of fact, I was dead before he died. But I also got to participate in his death because it was my sin that killed him. It wasn't the Jews bringing him to the cross. It was my sin, your sin, the sins of the world that killed him. He said, therefore, we are buried with him in baptism unto death, that like as the Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in what? Should walk in newness of life. He didn't say this is a law. You better walk in newness of life. Let me train you how to walk in newness of life. And the way you do that is allow me to do it in and through you. I will definitely walk in newness of life for you. If you just relax, rest, and let me do it. It's about verse 5. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. There's the power. The power is the resurrected power of God. That's why Paul says, no longer I to live. Philippians, he says, that I may know the power of his resurrection. In other words, how to get out of the way. How to allow him to live in and through me. He saved me. You don't think he want to live the life? Paul says this, knowing our old man is crucified, that's the problem. If we don't know he's crucified, we just can't identify when he jumps up and raises his ugly head, right? If I'm walking in newness of life, man, I want to reflect or bring glory and honor to the one who called me and saved me, right? And that's an educational thing. The Bible said, look, man, if you got an intake of the Word of God, a consistent intake of the Word of God, you're intaking the Word of God constantly, the Word of God in you, the Word of God in you, then it's going to become a lot easier to live the Christian life. Because word in, word out. And if the Word of God is living, y'all think it's living? Well, that's how we live. Through the Spirit, through his Word, we're just vessels. God is saying, let me use you. Let me use you to do what I need to do. Because you can't. I can't. I'd be lying to you. If I could tell you the times that I want the flesh to rule and reign, y'all wouldn't let me come up here. Remember the first time I heard Greg, the world said that, I'm going, Greg, what are you talking about? You that bad? Well, in the light of who God is, yes, we're all that bad. And that's the battle. The spirit against the flesh. The spirit against the flesh. The old against the new. The old against the new. And God has so equipped us. All we got to do is pick up the book and look at it. He says, put on the whole armor. And none of the stuff that he asked us to put on hadn't already been given to us. You got the faith, you got salvation, you got prayer, you got all those weapons. So he said, put them on. If you put them on and you wear them every day, trust me, it's okay to leave the American Express card at home, but don't leave the whole armor. There are many times I come home and wish I had left the American Express at home. But not one time you'll ever regret bringing the whole armor with you. And you got that at the moment you believe. And Paul goes on here in Romans chapter 6 to say, man, if you've been planted with him, look in verse 6, Paul said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should... He didn't say commit one. We should not serve it. And he goes on to say, man, you know, whoever you are serving to, that's your master, right? If you serve sin, then Satan's going to be your master. Why, as a Christian, would you choose to do that? When you know that God has gave you the provisions to just relax and allow him to live the life in and through you. It's how simple it is. And man, I got about 3 more pages. We're not going to get there, but I want to get to this. Turn to Galatians and watch Paul's biggest secret here. And it should be ours. If y'all got the notes, it's on the back of it's the last portion. Paul says this in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, look in verse 12. He said, Paul, could you give me a little deeper explanation of what you're saying, or what you try to translate? What is it you want me to understand about the Christian life? How did you do it? Because that may work for me. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 12, Paul says this, as many, everybody got it? Everybody got it? Say amen. Say we're all gonna give Al a big check if you everybody got it. Say we're all gonna write Al a big check if you got it. All of y'all lying, see? Anyway, Galatians chapter 5, verse 12. For as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, that's law, only lest any should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Paul is big on the cross of Christ, isn't he? Galatians 6:12? Y'all not listening. Y'all just don't be listening. I said that, and y'all just don't be listening. Now, it better be 6:12, or I'm coming to choke somebody. Okay, Galatians 6:12. Nope, that's not it. Galatians 5:12. Okay, well, somebody tell me where it is. 6:12. That's what I was reading just now? Okay, all right. I just wanted to see if everybody was up. All right. And hold your finger here, and when we finish here, we're going to Moses 1, verse 2. I just want to see if y'all paying attention. Y'all elite students. How's that? Like that. As many as desire, that's it? Okay. As many as desire to make a show of you in the flesh, constrain you. You know, I don't have a book yet, so I just guessed that, and I was wrong. Okay. Constrain you to be circumcised. That's law. Only lest any should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. That was the problem. Well, we used to the law. We lived by the law. Well, you're lying because you didn't. Nobody kept it. Paul said, no, it keeps you out of persecution, but I'm teaching the truth. It's the cross of Christ. Anyway, you see law, it works. Paul says, for neither they themselves are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Glory in your flesh. That's not the newness of life. That's the oldness of the law. The oldness of the letter. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Whom the world is crucified to me and I unto the world. Paul have died twice. Paul said the world has died to me. I don't teach religion no more. I don't try and live according to some rule or some regulation. All that died to me. And I died to it. And that's what we need to do. We need to understand what? That we're in the world, but not of the world. We ain't going to straighten nothing out. I guarantee you. We ain't going to straighten one thing out. What we do is we preach the cross of Christ. And all those people who are erring, all those people doing the things that they're doing, well, let's let the gospel straighten them out. Right? That's what straightened you out. Now, why in Galatians, look at Galatians 5 this time. Galatians 5:13. Now Paul just says, y'all still preach the law and y'all think that that's going to do something for you. Paul said in verse 13, 5:13, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there's no law. So Paul said, if you want to hang on to the law still says the soul that sin, it shall die. Because that sin is still imputed because you're not glorying in the cross as I am. And I think in Galatians chapter 6, don't turn that, but Paul says this. Paul said, you and I and every believer has been called to liberty. But use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh. You certainly can, Paul said, but don't do it. Walk in newness of life. At the cross, death died. There's no more death for the believer. It's an impossibility. The gospel destroyed death. So what Paul is saying here, don't use liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Well, Paul, can I do it? You can do what you want to do. But I'm telling you, don't do it. There's no profit in it. And there certainly is no testimony in it. Can you imagine me being a Christian, always try to witness somebody, and every single day they see me in a place that's just unbecoming of a believer. I'm using language that's just inconsistent with who I am. What do you think they may say? You think they might say, can I share the gospel with you? Can I give you the righteousness of God in Christ? They're going to say, oh, you got the righteousness of God? You could have fooled me. But if I'm walking in newness of life, it may cause somebody to ask me, why don't you blow up? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I tell them the truth, oh, I want to. But I keep my foot on the old man. As Paul said, you know, just keep the old man under subjection of the Spirit. Because you have been made brand new. I've been made brand new. So let's walk in newness of life and not oldness of the flesh. Old the flesh going to raise head up, I guarantee you. If you've been a Christian for more than a minute, you know that. It's going to happen. And if y'all say I'm lying, I like to interview the wives and the husbands and the kids and the dogs and the cats. Because I bet you I hear a different story. But let's learn how to keep it under subjection. Paul said, I buffer my body. Man, it's like shadow boxing. Paul said, it's tough, man, it's tough. It's tough to keep it under subjection. And can you imagine the Apostle Paul being beaten? 39 lashes, thrown in jail. How could you ever keep that under subjection? And I think that's the main reason Paul said, I'm chief sinner, because God knew what I was thinking when those guys was beating me. Oh, he knew what I was thinking. I kept it under subjection. But man, to walk in newness of life, it's the Christian's duty. That's what God has empowered us to do. But we just grieve the Spirit. People say, oh, you got to be full of the Spirit. God only gave us a full spirit. I don't care how full the Spirit is, if you grieve him or beat it down, God's not going to bogart you and take over you. He wants you to submit. He simply says, back down, stop quenching me, and I'll do it. To learn how to walk in newness of life. Boy, that brings glory to God. And one of the major things, I was doing a study this week on prayer. Prayer is so much a part of this, because prayer is simply worship and praise. People don't realize that. Prayer is worship and praise. Not crazy prayer. I'm talking about prayers that that if you're in the Word, you've been in the Word, and you pretty much know the will of God, and your prayers is kind of basically in the will of God, then that is praise and that is worship. Think about it. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me eternal life. Thank you for propitiation, justification, sanctification. Thank you for the promised glorification. That, man, that's praise and worship. You're simply praying back to God of truth. You realize what happens when my son comes to me and said, Dad, you know, I really appreciate you and what you did when you back there, when you did this, and when you, I get bucked up. And that's what we do, God. We pray back to him his glory. We pray back to him. Oh, you can, yeah, we, the Bible said, let your request be known. If you got to ask him for something, you can. But I always say, go to him thanking him first. Thank him for what he's done. And then throw in your little whatever you need. Because he controls that. But anyway, newness of life. Lord, we thank you that you really made us brand new. And Lord, when I think about the old me, I can really appreciate the new me. You know, and Paul gives us a better insight in one of his epistles where he says, and you, who sometimes were alienated in your mind by wicked works. And in another place he says, look, you were the same way as those sinners. It was just mean. You was all those things. So don't forget that. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget that you wasn't always a new creation. You used to be that same God that you sharing the gospel with. So be patient. And just share with them and say, look, man, look, the state that you're in, you don't have to stay there. God wants to put all of your sins on his account. He simply wants you to believe that. And he'll never put sin on your account. The problem is, I want to tell you how to get righteousness. And that righteousness is a gift from God. Can I give it to you? Can I share it with you? Can I show you what God says about his righteousness? Now, who would not listen to that? Even if they didn't accept Christ, they would listen to it. And that's where you want to get them, where they'll just hear it, because you've done your job. You watered. You planted. God will do the increase. But that's a message. That is the greatest message I have ever known. That God will never put sin on my account. And he wants to give me his righteousness. What kind of love is this, as John says? Lord, we thank you for it. We receive it, we accept it. And Lord, I just pray that that spirit that you've shed abroad in our heart, that we can show love to others, I pray, Lord, that this week we will just let him be active and do what he does. And Lord, again, we thank you for Christ. For it's in his name I pray. Amen.